I'm Patricia Kane. I am the Friends of American Arts curator of American Decorative Arts. We're looking at a silver coffee pot by Paul Revere, who's probably America's most famous silversmith. And that's really because his activities in the American Revolution. I think most people know about his midnight ride, in which he set out from Boston to warn the residents of Lexington and Concord that the British regulars were marching towards them. And that has really captured people's imagination. So if you ask the average American, you know, who's our most famous silversmith, if they know at all any silversmith's names, they're apt to come up with Paul Revere. And he worked in Boston from 1754 into the early 19th century. There are many aspects of his life that sort of capture the American experience. He was the son of an immigrant. His father came from France in the early 18th century and was apprenticed to a Boston silversmith. And when he died in 1754 in Boston, his son, Paul Jr., took over the shop and began making objects like this coffee pot. It really is a beautiful example of the Rococo style in Boston. By Rococo, I mean the use of sort of asymmetry in its design, the way it catches the light from the pineapple finial at the top, which breaks up the light into little glimmering bits, to its spout that has little sea scrolls and shell carving on it, to its handle that has this wonderful sort of spur at the top, and then to the side of the object, which has this magnificent engraved coat of arms. There's a number of things that are quite rare about this coffee pot. It had been owned in the family for whom it was made and descended in that family until just recently when the art gallery was able to buy it from family members. It survives with its original handle, which is quite rare in American silver. The handle is ebonized to look like ebony, but just notice how from that spur at the top of the handle, if you follow the line that goes towards the coffee pot, that line is then picked up in the bezel, that is the little silver socket that joins the handle to the body, by another line that just carries out that same sort of swooping curve. And when handles are original, as this one is, you see those subtleties that the silversmith and the carver who fabricated the handle for him thought about and worked out in advance. So the family, or the people for whom this was made, was Epps Sargent. He was a merchant in Gloucester, Massachusetts, which is a town on the coast north of Boston. And he had married a woman, Catherine Osborne, in 1745, and she was from a Boston family. The merchants were really the wealthy elite of colonial Massachusetts society, and many of them had these aristocratic aspirations, I'll call them. So the use of their family arms in the engraving on the side of the pot is indicative of that. In other words, the British aristocracy had coats of arms that historically had identified the family. And many Americans imitated that practice to associate themselves with the British elite. And so if you look closely at the arms on the pot, you'll see that on the at the center of the cartouche, that is the flowers and shells and sea scrolls that surround the central design. At the center, to the left, you see three little leaping dolphins, and those are the arms of Epps Sargent. To the right of the center design, one sees a large cross set in a field of four quadrants, and those are Catherine Osborne's family arms. And it is really rare in American silver where you get both the husband and the wife's arms represented on a cartouche such as this. And it kind of implies to us that Catherine probably was wealthy in her own right. And further evidence of that is that when she, when her husband died in 1779, he died what in those days was called insolvent, or basically bankrupt. But when the estate was settled, she received her dower right and was granted a mansion house without buildings and a pew in the great meeting house, so that she could continue to live the sort of aristocratic life that she was used to.